Have you been thinking about investing? Free Trade, the award-winning investment app, makes investing accessible to everyone. It's trusted by over 700,000 investors, and the intuitive design works for any experience level, beginners and experts alike. You can start investing from as little as just £2. Buy and sell stocks and ETFs, commission-free and without hidden costs. Here's the deal. Because you are smart and invested in this podcast, I can tell you that if you register and fund your account via freetrade.io/Johnny, that's freetrade.io/Johnny, you'll receive a free share worth between £3 and £200, such as Greg's, Rightmove, or Apple. Remember, when investing, your capital is at risk and other charges may apply. Go to freetrade.io/Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Gavin the Woodman Woods.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you so much.
Little Si. Do you remember when we used to do our live gigs?
Yeah.
When we used to play out with the radio and we used to get the crowd to get it just right to welcome
just
him.
The right amount of clapping.
So he used to go, the Woodman, he used to go crazy. Little Simon used to go.
They got it to a T.
God, they got
they
it. It's amazing
it.
When you get a group of people to do an impression of a crowd that doesn't care.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Boy, did they get into character, didn't they?
Really did.
I mean, they're even doing it when we came on.
I know.
Right. This week, we talk terrible restaurant views. I've got three more stories of paternal eccentricity, courtesy of Dad's Barmy, and the Woodman has an old Armenian swimmer diving into his heroic little slot. It's going to be tight. That's the podcast, not the Woodman's heroic little slot. That's always wide open.
Voluminous.
That's always wide open for new candidates.
Radio X.
Gav, how was your weekend?
It was pretty
Mine was great.
Did you have a weekend after your Friday? You had a big Friday birthday.
I had a big Friday birthday, and then I went to a mate's for a barbecue. First barbecue, really, of the season, down at Pete's. God, Well, it was just a regular house, but you know, when you're in someone's garden, they've got tiny enough. You forget there are neighbours around.
Oh, there are. Yeah, you've got to be careful what you say.
I just suddenly thought when I was on my way home in the car, I thought they must have had the most awful day. We haven't seen each other for ages. We had a fight over who could control the Bluetooth speaker. You know, you get that.
Oh God!
And someone goes, "Just turn yours off a second." And you go, "No," and everyone's just sitting there, just
and
waiting.
People have had a drink.
And then someone turns it off, and then everyone's just waiting for them to get the first thing. So you hear that, and then suddenly you're connected. Yeah, but I played a good set. You'd have liked it.
What
condition my condition was in right into Van Morrison's.
That's great barbecue.
Baby, please
show.
Don't
yeah,
go.
Yeah, really.
You
good.
Can't go wrong with that.
You can't go wrong.
It's just better than the Rolling Stones. And then I went to an Elvis medley, finishing up with How Great Thou Art. Unfortunately, I played the wrong version. I played a sort of studio version of it. It was really early. This is the Elvis classic.
Right, right.
And it's really nice. It goes on for ages. And whenever we have a tradition, whenever we wear Hawaiian shirts, if you do play How Great Thou Art, you'd have to take a knee.
Okay, right. Out of respect,
In awesome wonder.
Sure.
And you know, survey the wondrous universe.
How long was this version?
It was so much that Pete got up and says, I can't, my knees.
My knees.
And then the worst thing was, he saw he actually got up, he was out of breath from kneeling.
What?
Which shows the physical.
That's not a stamina issue.
No, it's not a stamina. It shouldn't be a stamina issue, kneeling. You never see athletes. Anyway,
it's not an event.
No.
It's never
part of the protest or anything, is it?
Yeah,
they might knacker you out.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You might get knackered.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Then Abba Kids all over on Sunday and cooked an absolute blinder. You've been really proud of me, Gav.
Awesome.
Particularly for my mixed tomato and onion salad. And then I finished off. The boy was still hungry in the evening. I just did my fantastic spaghetti dish. I don't want to boast about it, but it was really good.
Nice.
Little Si, how was your weekend? But Gav. What did you get up to? Anything exciting?
I made pasta as well. No, I did boring things. I mowed the lawn. I put the paddling pool out for the kids. I potted around in my shed.
Keep it coming.
It was all good. I loved it.
Okay,
it was boring
and how's your amazing shed?
It's getting there. It is, yeah.
Is that all wired up and everything? You've actually...
Yeah, it's getting there.
Is it getting there?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Why? Is there planning permission issues?
No.
Okay. Sorry. What?
Nothing.
I just thought. I thought talking about a man's shadow.
I'm nearly there. My little pottering man cave is nearly there.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, Kev. I just. It's one of those things I never realised would be taboo on the show. If you're that close to it, it's like we're talking about your mistress. Yeah, you haven't got a mistress in the shed, have you?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Little Si, how was your weekend?
So I went on a hen do.
What?
Yeah, I heard about it.
I went on a hen do.
What the actual?
Well, yeah. Yeah,
how?
That's all right. We're some more modern now, you know. So
no, that's not. It's still
guys
not
and girls there. So me and Si both went. It was in Oxford.
Really?
Didn't start very well. They said meet at Brown's.
Oh, no, Brown's. It's quite an overpriced little sort of club sandwich joint.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so is it Brasserie?
Turns out there was a few Browns in Oxford.
Yeah.
So I plugged in Browns in Google Maps and turned up at some sort of, you know, caff. You know, and expecting there to be a load of girls there.
I would describe, and what happened?
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't there. It was actually, the Browns Brasserie. Then we went punting.
How long before you caught up with them?
It was a good half hour.
I thought you said the next day.
No, Si was in a right huff about that, going to the wrong Browns.
Si, were you with him?
Yeah.
He was.
Hey, wait a second. Does that mean you've been in the, whatever the car's called? His new electric vehicle.
No, we took the bus.
Okay.
Right, and then we went punting.
The bus?
The bus?
Yeah, we went to the bus down there. What's wrong with that?
Was Cliff with you?
No one takes a bus to a stag night. Yeah, right. Well, was Eunice Stubbs on there by any chance? Taking tickets with Melvin Hayes. In fact, that's little size. Anyway, so you took the bus to a stag night, which already has got me angry.
Yeah.
To a hen night.
To a hen night, where we went punting.
Yeah.
Si was annoyingly good, actually, at punting. We had the bride's sisters in our punt.
Okay, wait.
Was showing off, and he was...
No, big Si, just say it with singles. Have you punted before? And how solid is it at the bottom?
Oh, it's quite solid.
Is it?
It's not squishy. I've always wondered that.
How far does the... Is the stick the punt or the boat? The stick is the punt. So how far into the mud does it stick?
It's a scaffold pole. That was what we were using. It was a scaffold pole.
What, a metal
pole.
One?
Yeah, it was a metal scaffold pole.
Wow.
Really?
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So anyway, I was...
Sorry, listeners, if we lost a bit of that. There's two things have scuppered this. One, the person we really want to talk to is mute. Second, Gav will not discuss... Second, Gav will not discuss his tent. Which, considering on my notes here, I've got shed, punting. Seriously, it was like, I've described that as like trying to plait fog.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
I was looking at the front page today of quite a few newspapers, and this is all over the web as well.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the web, Gav, get this. It
Go
says
on.
There's going to be a DIY medal ceremony. So, because of COVID-19,
yeah.
I think only 8 athletes out of the 80,000 that are going to Tokyo.
Yeah.
I know it's about the same amount of people as are in Blackburn.
Right.
Roughly.
Okay.
There's a few more in Blackburn, maybe 90,000. Right. I know they could all fit in the stadium in Blackburn.
Okay.
If you went on the pitch as well.
Okay.
So the whole of Blackburn can fit in that stadium.
Yeah.
They're like the Green Bay Packers. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off the subject.
Yeah.
So they won't be having anyone put the medal on you.
Oh, for COVID, yeah.
Yeah, because of COVID. Because of COVID-19.
Mm.
Gav... As well as striking me as just being, well, all the athletes are drug tested.
Right.
So they don't need to do anything. You'll be able to test it. You're getting blood and stuff and things. I mean, they're going to be tested all the time.
Yeah, you won't be able to compete.
Right.
Unless...
So they're not just going to, oh, damn, we put someone up there to give them the medal who's got it.
Yeah, they can wear a mask as well.
Right.
The person putting the medal on.
Or a spacesuit.
Yes. A helmet.
Full face helmet.
No,
the whole thing. In this part. Or like beekeepers. You know?
No, a really 50s spacesuit. Like
right.
A black and white movie spacesuit
yes.
With a round
with the
glass bowl
right.
On my head.
Right, yes, yeah. And a big smile that goes ding. Yeah. But Gav, what I'm thinking, it's Japan. Now, in Japan, you get the feeling of all these robot manufacturers, you know, occasionally they'll show you a robot.
Yeah.
And it sort of, it says a robot can make tea, and you think it vaguely can.
It'll tie your shoelaces.
Yeah, but it can't plug itself in, can it?
No.
And you're thinking, well, it's a guy at home, isn't he? He's just looking at his wife and just thinking, yeah, I'll get a robot to do that.
Yeah.
a robot has been designed which can make beds. Yeah, I get right. The wife's making a bed. I can't do that.
Hoover the stairs.
A robot has been designed to hoover the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sort of think it's just Japanese husbands trying to think how they made their wives obsolete. That's all they're doing. They're just thinking of things she does and then think, I know, I could, and I'll make it look like I'm doing her a favour. In actual fact, I'm just making her obsolete.
Yes.
Her indoors. Anyway, the point about it is, Gav, and there is a point to all this.
Is robots.
Don't tell me it's not a great time for Honda or whoever to show that the Honda robot can hand out.
Yeah, it's just a medal handing out.
Gav, it's a lot flasher than IOC officials who sometimes get to give them out. It's just absolutely no marks.
Absolutely right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, normally on the podium, the athletes have to completely bend over because they're so much higher than the person giving them. You could have a robot really getting tall and just placing it over the neck.
Or Gav, just a robot that can just put something around someone's neck. If we're not at that level yet, then they talk about driverless cars.
Right.
These cars that can back into a tiny little slot and tell about traffic and,
And you can have a kip all the way to Cornwall.
And they're saying it's impossible to just spread out a sash and place it over someone's head. and the reason that is impossible, this is the only reason I can think this might not happen, is because the Russians have been excluded from these Olympics because of drug taking, and they're frightened the Russian hackers will get in, and they'll end up just strangling every single winner with the medal. They're just frightened.
Swinging the athlete around in circles.
Garroting them. Yeah, right. Suddenly, literally, that's not a medal, it's a noose. But it was to become a noose for the athlete, dangling from the podium.
Horror as the metal official has gone crazy.
Has gone crazy. It's now picked up four javelins and taken out the entire IOC panel. Straight into the royal box.
Even Usain Bolt can't get away. These things are fast.
He's taken Usain down and he's got him with a javelin. Well, just puts a shot in his head.
X.
It's time to escape the everyday. Head into the city and seize your summer together.
Mind the gap.
Chats without buffering. New places with old faces. Time with the people you love the most. Escape the everyday. Enjoy the UK this summer.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
We weren't asking for just new events for the Olympics, but thank you so much. I thought someone says, when you talk about DIY Olympics, I thought you meant events like hang the shelf, paint the fence, and a speed tiling event. That's a separate Olympics. It's really good. The only Olympics I'd like, first of all, I was talking about... Thank you, Steve. I was talking about the pit events.
Mm.
And I would like to see, if you got the javelin, they take each other on.
Yeah. Proper.
Either end. You've got a javelin thrower either end.
Right.
And once you've thrown it, you've now got to be stationary.
You can't move, yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of more like an ancient Rome.
Yeah, Greece. Yeah. And also, some of those guys, generally, if I don't know how to judge if someone's not a good person, but generally they're wearing a blazer. And there's a lot of guys in blazers.
Yeah, go on.
No, right in range of the...
Oh,
I mean, they're pretty quick to see where the javelin...
They get there pretty quick. Yeah.
So what I'd do if I was the javelin guy is maybe throw a dummy, watch them scurry in there.
They always do that sort of blazer canter.
Yeah, they do.
They don't run.
Yeah.
They sort of canter.
No, they just run from the knee down.
Yeah,
for some reason the knees are sort of connected. Yeah. The other thing is, if we were going to have point two.
Yeah.
If we were going to have an event, at the Olympics, like speed or things, or something introduced like that, there's only one ever. If you ever ask that, always look confidently at your inquisitor and say, "What, another event for the Olympics?" There's only one thing to have. And they'll go, what? You go, shoplifting.
Yeah.
Olympic shoplifting.
Absolutely.
To find out who's the best of the best. Like a Top Gun. For
the Artful Dodger medal.
Bottle of scotch, bottom pocket.
Radio X.
People are challenging me about my Corby claims. Someone would just like to say, I'd like to point out about the Corby Rangers Supporters Club. This is the Glasgow Rangers Supporters Club, which literally... It was like a sort of Death Star in the way it dwarfed all other buildings around the place. I'd like to point out that the Corby Rangers Supporters Club has in fact been demolished. And my father, this is in brackets here, who's green, signed the paperwork to have it knocked down. Must have been a cheery day for him there. That's going to stir him up north of the border.
Oh, God.
Just imagine the smile on his face.
Oh, my God.
Right, we should stay out of this, Gav. We're not blue or green here. Just saying that's just a situation that happened. Whatever side you are on that, you can extract what you like from it. Also, someone says the A5's got a Chinese restaurant overlooking a car wash. I presume that's what it means by a Chinese overlooking a car wash. It's not just a man from China.
Just looking over it.
Looking over a car wash. Who's like a permanent fixture. It's what he does. The A5 has a Chinese overlooking a car wash forecourt. Does this count? Look, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I once went to a Chinese restaurant. I'll try and remember where it was with my son.
Yeah.
And the entrance to the restaurant was in a car park. Sorry, in a garage.
Yeah.
And it really, the petrol really scented the food. Also, there was a Thai restaurant in Earl's Court.
Yeah.
Where the other half of the Thai restaurant was a barber's. I mean, there was a bit of a through draft going through. You could see the hair in the air.
Oh, my God.
While you're eating. I only went there once.
Come on, that.
But any of your Chinese restaurants with a bad view, please send it in. 83936. We welcome those. On the subject of poorly located restaurants, there is a Chinese near me called the Rickshaw.
Yeah.
It's part of the same building as the petrol station. So much is it influenced by this that the chow mein comes in regular or super. That's Thai. Thank you very much. This, I can't remember the name of this Chinese restaurant. I went to it with my son, and it's on the forecourt. It's one of those, it's a slightly, where were we? It's like a sort of, you know, those petrol stations that have got the feel of like a sort of East European supermarket in the bad old days.
Right.
Like out of view, if you go around the back, that shelf's actually empty.
Oh, got you. Yeah, yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
a bread
yeah.
shelf.
Right.
With just like maybe no hot, just like a bap on it or something.
Yeah, you're not sure if it's actually operating.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was sort of connected to that.
Yeah.
And you went through and it had. It was enormous, Gav. It was one of those ones that has the restaurant bit, but then you sort of look through and there's a function bit. And you think, Christ alive.
Who's getting married here?
Who? Happy days, you think? Next up, Gav.
Mick in Durham says there's an Indian restaurant on the side of a jet garage in Stannington, Northumberland, on the A1M southbound.
Nice.
Amazing.
That sounds great. Thanks, Mick in Durham. I appreciate that one.
Beautiful.
There's a lot of these coming from the northeast. Bad view from any restaurant that the steel derelict sites in the centre of town Bridge Wells. Tunbridge Wells. That used to be the old cinema. It's been like that for 20 years.
Wow.
So there's just a steel derelict site there. And they've put restaurants around us. You can get some bad ones at the seaside, can't you? If you sort of wander off the quay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're getting you're getting some...
Yeah.
Because they seem to sort of think that actually a car park isn't a bad view there.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's that mind.
Vanessa, my partner, the mother of Milton, has, any time she books us a hotel, it's a disaster. It can be a really good hotel.
You mean the setting, the view?
I just know, straight away, if you walk into a hotel room and you open the and the curtains are shut.
Right, yes, they don't want you to see the road works or whatever it is.
I mean, we put the Grand in Brighton. You know, that should be a good view.
Yeah.
It was just that literally the pigeon home. Literally, just a pigeon. That bit out the back, there's just sort of drain pipes and pigeons. You know, just literally there.
The shaft of misery. Yeah, no,
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I was going to say that. No, but when you get that, even getting the netting.
Oh, my
that
God.
Netting around the place. So stop them coming in.
The Colditz.
Yes, I know. It was horrible, Gav. It's the worst view I've ever had from any place ever.
That's
Went
amazing.
To Spain, same thing. It was just over the car park.
Wow.
Mind you, I booked one in Rome once. This one where I took my daughter to Rome.
Yeah.
And that was when it was 48 degree heat in the queue for the Vatican Museum. Christ alive. And... the view was literally, I thought we won't go that high up because I never like going high up in hotels I'm not really sure about.
Yeah.
So it just meant, literally, it was like the Blues Brothers with that train, the station.
Was it?
With
right
the
past the window.
No, ridiculous. Everyone started rapping. We had to move. She was getting rid of it. She just said, I can't. I'm getting out. She's driving me mad. Yeah. No, that was a bad one. Jabula's South African restaurant in Ellesmere Port was situated on the Manchester Ship Canal. When the sun went down, it was a lovely sight, seeing Stanlow Oil Refinery lighting up the sky. That's Simon Tanya in Ellesmere Port. There is nothing like an oil refineries. There's nothing. They look awful. Gav, next up, I think you've got one there from Norfolk.
Which one's that?
The one at the very bottom.
Okay, there's a Chinese restaurant in a petrol station just outside Hunstanton, Norfolk.
Nice.
Food's not bad for outside London, but an absolute death trap trying to get back out on the road.
There's some of those restaurants you think they should just have one of those steam things like they have on aircraft hangars. I mean, aircraft carriers. Just to hurl
a catapult.
Back.
Yeah,
steam catapult. Just to get you back on the road at like 80. Go on, you can do the next one.
Do
the Indian in Omskirk. I'm only saving myself barriers. Go on.
There's an Indian in Ormskirk that shall remain nameless, as I previously bigged it up as a Pet Town correspondent. The food is incredible, but there's a guy that lives...
Get it out!
In a static caravan in the car park, has done for years, and you can watch his evening activities while you eat your starters. That's Peter in Wimslow.
I like doing that sometimes when your train just stops on a line, you look down...
And it's right there.
It's got a row of houses, and you can see everyone in these identical houses, what they're all doing and the things. You get quite...
It's like a soap opera.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite weird.
He's not getting on with her very well.
It's like a sort of Zoom chat of houses. Here's one. This is the money. It's not a bad view, unless you count a view of food as a bad view. But get this.
Yeah.
I ordered ribs with barbecue sauce in a Chinese restaurant in Spain once. The ribs turned up dry. I complained. And then a bottle of HP fruity sauce turned up.
It's not the same thing at all.
That's
X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Radio X.
Do you know what my dad's doing at the moment?
What?
I say this because it's the start of Dad's Barmy.
Uh-huh.
He's just doing this thing where he's saying, as he's got older...
Yeah.
The blandest things, like he's discovered something new.
Really? Like what?
I mean, admittedly, it's his birthday as well tomorrow.
Yeah.
As well as me. So he's going to be the bigger guy.
Right.
But don't speak to him because I'm cheesed off with him. Really cheesed off with him. But he's saying things like, I'll tell you which song I love by Frank Sinatra at the moment. And he's been into Frank Sinatra for years. He really likes him. He says, I'll just love that my way.
You're kidding.
No.
I'm thinking, you're just picking things that are really bland and...
It's the last one you pick.
He goes,
that's the one you've heard too much.
Oh, John, I think it's fantastic. the way he sings that my way. No, we were on YouTube. Yeah, I was just because I bought him a speaker for his kitchen.
Yeah.
We still can't suss it out, John, without you there.
Really?
I'm like, it's just Bluetooth. You just put your phone there. I showed you how to do it. It's the only Bluetooth option there. How can you mess it up, Father? Anyway, he goes. He goes, John. He goes, so I was playing, you know, some good sort of jazz stuff that he quite likes. He says, I'll tell you what, I'd love to hear, John, Galway Bay. I'm like, no. He says, no, Danny Boy.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, he just says, I think it's bloody brilliant.
Oh.
No, it's not No.
Who was that German organist that he loved listening
Klaus Funderlich.
To? Klaus Funderlich.
No, he only used to play that after I had arguments with my mum.
In the car.
Yeah. Round the ding, round the ding, round the ding, 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 ding.
On the organ.
Listen to Klaus Funderlich plays the Beatles because that's the tape he used to have in the car.
Oh my
When
God.
We were going on family holidays,
yeah.
He had a big argument with my mum, which is always, always. I never saw them get on well. It had an effect on me. I'm fourth generation divorced.
Mm. Right.
And he just used to play this.
Just amazing.
We'll get a burst of it later. Okay. Ever since I told you about the time my dad used our bath to try out his new wetsuit, you've been sending in your stories for a segment of the show called Dad's Barmy. I say that my dad's being eccentric doing that because I just think he must be annoying me. Mm. He knows I hate
He's
my
doing
wet.
It on purpose, I guess. Purpose. Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's just be,
pathetic. Just trying to get really... We've had the dad who finds things in skips, gives them wears presents. The dad who pre-drills mushrooms to prepare for kebab skewers.
Love that.
Which I think is genius.
It's genius. If you use a wood bit, though.
I said that to the Countdown audience on Monday. Got a great reaction with that.
Really?
Yeah. Great reaction. Excellent. Oh, yeah. I was trying to shoehorn a plug into every link.
Sure.
Well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to find it's just a week-long Radio X promo. Last week, August, taking out the bank holiday weekend. The dad who once marinated a chicken breast with fruits of the forest yogurt, again, sent them crazy. Literally, those pensioners weeping.
He's trying to do a tikka marinade.
That's fantastic, yeah.
That's so funny.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Fruits of the forest.
I love it. Gaff, former caterer, always trying to do those with tikka marinade.
There's no turmeric in a fruits of the forest.
He probably hasn't got the right oven. I love that.
You need a tandoor.
You're going to need a tandoor for that.
Absolutely right.
I wish Glenn Hoddle ran an Indian restaurant.
Oh, as the manager?
I think the waiters themselves are going to tandoor.
Very
like
hot
a
temperature.
A very nice tandoor, yeah.
Char grilled.
Glenn Hoddle, say the word. Tandoor. I think the players themselves are coming for a curry. Looking for a little bit of turmeric. What you got?
This is from Michael in Bellingham.
Thank you, Michael.
My dad helped me win a goldfish from a fun fair when I was around 6 or 7. It kept growing and got too big for its little tank.
Right.
As we know about goldfish, they keep growing.
Actually, yes, absolutely right.
Dad then puts him in the bath.
Why did you say that like we're doing Blue Peter?
I know, it was a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, do you remember, children?
Yesterday, we talked about goldfish.
Actually, no, got Blue Peter these days, if you watch it, it was never like that in our day. These days, I think it's designed for actually children who can't walk or talk yet.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
That young?
Definitely, yeah. It's like 8-month-old. Really is.
So it got too big for its tank. Dad then put him in the bath and threw the tank away. So every time we wanted a bath, we had to fish him out and put him in the sink.
Oh, my God. Every time?
Every time.
Go on, Gaff, what you got?
Lee in Tamworth.
Hi, Lee.
He says, my dad and I were boarding a train and there stood a little old lady stuck behind two large cases. Assuming she was trying to get off, he did the gentlemanly thing and put them on the platform for her. However, as the train pulled away, we went past those cases, now unattended, on the platform, and we then noticed the old lady was still on the train, standing by the doors.
No. Oh, man.
My cases.
Oh, no!
A mate of mine did something terrible in Australia. He helped a blind guy onto the wrong train.
You're joking.
In his year off.
Oh, man.
So it's something he still feels guilt about today.
Oh, no.
He said, where was he going? He's going, no, it's the other one.
Oh, no.
I know.
You'd feel terrible.
He still feels terrible today. I still, honestly, I get...
Cringing in bed.
He says, I wake up at night sweating about how mean he felt.
That's horrible.
No, because the next stop, and I'll say it was like this,
500 miles away.
Right, yeah. Okay, this is from Ray. Hi, Ray. My dad kindly agreed to water my allotment while we were on holiday. It's got water butt, so it's quite labour-intensive. When we got home after a real hot spell in the UK, he was really chuffed with himself. Unfortunately, all my plants were dead in the allotment. When I quizzed my dad, it turns out he actually been watering my neighbour's allotment for 2 weeks. needless to say, their crops had flourished. Send your dad stories, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. They can range from the eccentric to the downright embarrassing. They can be oddly heroic or just mortifying, as long as they've carried out by that well-meaning buffoon, the dad. Do you know what my dad did, which is amazing?
What?
When his dogs were just getting a bit old,
yeah.
The last pair of Cavaliers that he buys, I can't stand them. They just put out hair.
Yeah.
So much hair.
Millions of
you
it.
You just stroke them
really
once
fine.
And right round the back of the tail. It's like they've nicked someone's wig and placed it above on the hind quarters. Anyway, he bought those prams you get for twins.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been pushing that around the shops just with these two dogs. No, it's not R. It just looks mad weird.
Radio X.
Let's have a hero every single day of the week. Normally, in about 2 minutes' time,
yeah.
The Woodman furnished with a hero. But today, we are absolutely on schedule.
Mm.
I always say schedule. Some people say schedule.
Yeah.
I always correct them. It's American to say schedule.
Right.
But always freak people out. If they do say schedule, you say, actually, it's schedule.
Mm.
And they look at you like, what? You go, you don't say school, do you?
Yeah. And then you've got them.
And then they look like, what? But you do say, I don't get it. And you go, exactly. English, yeah? It's not a perfect language. Yeah? Think on. Gav, who's your hero?
Okay, today's hero, Johnny, is a man called Shavarsh Karapetyan.
Is he Armenian?
He is Armenian.
That's an Armenian name.
It really is, yeah. He was born in 1953. He's 68 years old. And he, in his time, was a 10-time world record fin swimmer. A fin swimmer is someone who's basically a human torpedo. They get those flippers on your feet, but it's one big flipper. And then you kind of buck along like a porpoise.
Yeah.
And anyway, he broke 10 world records at that. But that's nothing to do with why he's the hero.
If you win, are you known as the Big Fin?
No, Finland, maybe, yeah.
But when the race is in progress, do they say a Big Fin Aguan?
Big Fin Aguan.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, at 23 years old, on September 16th, 1976, he was training. And his training regime at the time involved a run every day. He did a 12-mile run with a 45-pound backpack on.
What does he do for the run? It's like a warm-up. It's like a stretch. Do you know what I mean, though?
And on September 16th in 1976, he just finished his training run alongside Yerevan Lake. with his brother.
Oh, the lake well.
When he saw a trolley bus, which is like a tram on rubber tires.
Yes, it's a weird thing, isn't it?
It came off the road and ended up sinking 33 foot down into Yerevan Lake.
No.
80 foot from the shore. A handful of passengers managed to escape, but the others didn't. There were over 90 passengers on the trolley bus. So Shavar stripped off to his pants, ran to the lake, dived in.
Wait a second. This isn't a listener telling you about the Tej.
No.
Because it's got the...
It's unbelievably... It's got the hallmark.
It's certainly Tej-esque.
It's got the whiff of Tej of it. It really does.
Hey, that's going to be... That's a really good name for my first film.
The whiff of Tej.
The whiff of Tej.
And then you could have the whiff of Tej 2.
Yeah, exactly
this
right.
This time
he
smells stronger.
Another whiff of Tej. Yeah.
The unmistakable whiff of Tej.
Then the unmistakable whiff of Tej again.
So... He was... we need to make a list.
Let's make a list. So he's 83936, start making a list.
So he swam down 30 foot down with zero visibility. This was a really dark lake in Armenia. And he had to kick in one of the windows of the trolley bus.
Underwater?
Underwater, without being able to see anything.
I've done stuff
He kicked
that.
The window in, he lacerated his leg, he cut his leg really badly. But anyway...
He'd done that pulling
it
out.
He started reaching in and literally feeling for bodies.
Wow.
And grabbing them one by one and swimming them. He kicked off the top of the trolley bus up to the surface... He was an amazing swimmer, obviously.
He kicked off the top of the trolley bus?
Yeah, because it was stuck down at the bottom of the lake. So he would grab a body, yank it out of the window, stand on the trolley bus and kick to the surface where his brother was waiting to carry that person to the shore. He saved 20 people. He did it for 2 hours. He was there while they were getting the crane there. They sent him down to attach the crane
in. But there must have been some air in there, though.
There was a tiny pocket of air at the top, but most...
Because no one can live for 2 hours
By the time, very sadly, by the half of them died. 46 of them died.
Okay.
A handful escaped on their own, and he saved the rest.
Wow! But this is... But Gav, why?
No, this is even more amazing.
Gav, why have you left it 5 years in to do this?
I've only just found this story.
I know what I'm saying. There must be more heroes like this.
I was sent this in by a listener. It's an unbelievable story.
I knew it. Wasn't
you. It's a beauty. Thanks, Sinbad.
Okay.
Anyway, so after that, the Soviet government, because it was a Soviet state at the time.
Soviet.
They didn't mention it because their trolley buses didn't fall into lakes, right? But then again, in the early 80s, he was recognized. He was given medals. He was awarded money and honors and everything. In 85, he was walking past a burning building and he ran inside and started pulling people out of a fire. Oh, by the way, he ended up in hospital for 45 days with sepsis and pneumonia. And and his rescue effort under the lake ruined his athletic career completely.
Oh, man. Do you know what, though? So the Soviets didn't want anyone to know about what he'd done?
No, until later,
It's the same with our special forces. And also, this goes out to all the sun dodgers, the submariners out there.
Sure.
None of their brave work ever gets acknowledged either. Gav, do you know what? It's just something I get used to.
Absolutely right. You
know,
anyway...
I know what I've done. That's the important thing.
He's 68 now, and he's alive and well. Let's salute Shavash Karapetian.
Karapetian. Well done, matey. The Johnny Vaughan 4-7 thing. Why, we salute you.
X.
At the Bank of Antandek, mortgages are on the menu.
I was in the chippy last night, and it hit me.
Go on.
We should give all our new mortgage customers £1,000 of spuds.
Potatoes.
Yeah, jackets, roasties, dolphin wires. I mean, what's not to love?
Hey, yeah, we could call it mashback.
Genius.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're giving their customers £1,000 cash back on selected first-time buyer mortgages. See what's possible at Santander.
Lending subject to status and criteria. Cashback given on completion and repayable if mortgage closed within 2 years. Offer can be withdrawn. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Loads of people coming up with some good film suggestions for my next film. The Unforgettable Whiff of Tej, and then Tej, Return of the Whiff. Ricky Manchester, that was from Ben. Thanks, Ben. Ricky Manchester says, The Never-Ending Whiff of Tej. And then someone suggests, they don't put a name on this, but it's a great bit of work. Tej, Episode 3, Revenge... of the whiff. And lastly,
don't forget the film that started it all, Johnny, Under Tej.
Oh. Hey!
Radio X.
Okay, Gav.
Yeah, go on.
A British Airways jet collapsed on its nose while at Heathrow. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why in a second. First of all, though,
yeah,
I used to write with a guy called Ed.
Mm. Mm.
When you just hold the thought about the BA thing.
Yeah.
I used to work with Ed Allen, who I wrote the series Horrible with, very unsuccessful.
Yeah.
And Top Buzzer, uh-huh. Bit more successful.
Right.
Although both of them now very, very valuable on eBay.
And VHS, yeah, there's a cult on, following.
No, they didn't. They're past the VHS.
Oh, did they?
Era.
Was it DVDs?
Yeah. Although it is nice that my kids have never seen my TV career because we do not have a VCR. Anyway, get this.
Go on, right?
Is that for ages we used to write in an office together around Earl's Courtway, around the back of Earl's Court.
Yeah.
And for ages I used to be really cheesed off because when it was his turn to buy the loo roll, and anyone who's ever worked in an office with someone will know how annoying it is when someone uses all the loo roll and when they have to replace it. And he was always buying the really cheap stuff.
No.
Oh, the thin, not the tracing paper.
The stuff that's cheaper than an Evening Standard.
Right, oh my God.
Which is going somewhere.
Yeah, right.
And actually worse quality.
That's so barely recycled as it is.
Standard. Anyway, but no one, of course, Standard's free now.
Sure.
No one buys it.
It's overpriced.
No, it's overpriced at that. Yeah, you go to Waterloo, it's honestly, it's like the untaken free copies of the Standard.
It's like
a Grand National hedge. They should make, in fact, the next Grand National, forget that, just have them jumping over unsold copies of the Standard.
Yeah.
Anyway, so and I said, I was really getting at him for it. So I was like, Ed, how come?
Yeah.
Why? And I thought it for ages. I didn't want to get at him.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't want to sell it, because, you know, we're right together and it's already really stressful because you've got a massive ego. And so
it's not an area to economise,
is it?
No,
it really isn't. I was still thinking, this is really strange, because normally he's quite lavish. He certainly was with alcohol.
Sure.
So one day, I sort of said, we're having a row. I said, do you know another thing I don't like about you? We got into one of those situations. You buy the cheap loo rod. He goes, I don't choose to. Okay, yeah, you do, because you're cheap. You're cheap. And he says, no, I don't. I go, okay, then, why is the loo rod? Why don't you buy the expensive stuff? He goes, you want to know why?
Yeah.
I go, why? He goes, I can't reach it.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't want to ask for
help. Yeah, right. He doesn't want to ask for help to
you
get
never
the...
never think
to,
of that, do you?
He doesn't want to ask for help.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't want to ask for help to get the Andrex.
Ask for help.
To get the Andrex off the top of the Snapple chiller.
The triple ply is too far up.
Yeah, it's too far. Yeah. Only the cheap stuff's low down. Right. Obviously a bigger margin on it as well, isn't it? Anyway, I only say it.
Yeah.
Because that problem is, you sort of think you've got to sort that out. That supermarket's got it too far up and people are shy about saying, excuse me, could you reach up and get the Andrex
for me? Yeah,
they're
discriminating.
No one's going to do that, but they're losing sales.
Right, yeah, of course they are.
You know, okay, get this. A British Airways jet collapsed on its nose while at Heathrow because a mechanic was not tall enough to insert a locking pin.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The lead mechanic pointed out the location to a taller colleague who placed it in the wrong hole. An identical error was made to another Boeing 787 in 2018. The misery of human error. This thing about people, you know, people are embarrassed to admit they're too short like that. But isn't that interesting? That same problem of one useless writer.
Terrifying.
He just couldn't. He was too embarrassed to ask for loo roll.
Mm.
And it's the same problem with a jet and the millions of pounds. But the problem is the same.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know what the lesson is, but there's one there.
But always buy good loo roll.
Yes. Thank you.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Mountaineering charities.
Yeah.
What?
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 Do you know, at the moment, there's 105,000 charities in Britain.
Right.
Well, what am I paying my tax to, then?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's that helping?
Yeah, I wonder if it goes up and up and up all the time. Is it
thousands? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, Gaff.
Yeah, sure.
Get this. Mountaineering charities. I tell you, that's so far down the list.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, I can understand getting people, but there's a lot more people. Than
mountaineering.
Mm. Charities.
I know. What is that?
I don't know, Gav.
She left all her money to a mountaineering charity.
Charity, yes. This is Colin. He won't be going mountaineering this week unless you help him. This
Just
is
£2 a month.
This is Karen. She's been sitting here staring out the window at a big hill. Help her get up the hill.
I imagine it's to help pave to save people from mountains.
I don't know, since, but there's only about four in Britain.
Mountains aren't stalking
people.
They're
not even that. The point is, the highest mountain in Britain, the highest mountain, or like, take Mount Snowdon, yeah?
Okay, so someone goes up to Snowdon, they get stuck, and they need to be rescued.
No,
and
the charity has to go and help. The state should take care of
that. That's right. Yeah,
that's not a charity thing.
No, you want angry helicopter pilots for that.
Not
sort of thing.
Charity's help. This is Steve. Steve's never been up a mountain. Help Steve get up one of Britain's five mountains. It'll only take an afternoon. I think you can do that. You get 9-year-olds who can do all of them in like a weekend.
It's a mild upwards walk.
Yeah, it's like then normally called Ben, but not Nevis. Yeah, right. This is Ben, 9. He managed to conquer all of Britain's peaks in an afternoon.
A weekend.
Literally in a lunch hour from school.
It's not the Matterhorn, is it?
Anyway, no, the Matterhorn it ain't, Kev.
No.
The
Matterhorn.
Gav. Mountaineering charities have criticised Google for suggesting routes up Ben Nevis and other Munros that are potentially fatal.
Other what?
Well, Google has suggested a route up one of these mountains that takes you over a cliff.
You're kidding.
And shall I just say, it's not just mountaineering charities that have blasted that. I'd say mankind has blasted it. Unless there's an app called Lemming. The John Muir Trust, which looks after the upper reaches of Britain's highest mountains, said the attempts to contact the company over the issue had been met with silence. Everyone knows you can't get through to Google. It's like you can't unsubscribe from Facebook. I've been trying for ages. Mm. All they want, if you want to get out of Facebook, they just want more information.
Mm. Yeah, that's
right.
They
say, if you want to do that, it's been so long since I've been on there, they now want proof it's me.
Right.
I'm thinking, well, who are these guys who are trying to break into Facebook accounts to unsubscribe?
I know,
that's not the part.
That's a waste of time.
There's no fraud behind that. There's no gain. No, there's no gain. Anyway, the charity said that certain searches for routes up Ben Nevis on Google Maps directed users to the car park nearest the summit as the crow flies. And that car park, let me tell you, it's not far off the summit.
No.
And surely it's a crow park.
Yes.
And then they indicated a walking route that was highly dangerous even for experienced climbers. Heather Morning, that's not the name of a charity, that's a woman's name.
That's a person.
But it does sound like a... Oh, sorry. Heather Morning, Mountaineering Scotland safety advisor. I still say Heather Morning does sound like a great website, doesn't it, for people who want to explore places in Scotland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Heather Morning.
Hello, Heather Morning. Karen speaking. said that even experienced climbers would have trouble with the suggested routes, especially the one that goes over a cliff.
Yeah, that's dangerous. You don't want that.
No, but maybe they're just trying to make it a bit more edgy, you know?
X. Radio X. Johnny. Vaughan.
What have I got in front of me here but a little bit of bullshito? We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. They're masters of the ancient art of bullshito. Bong. That's where the gong goes in, isn't it? Think about it.
You're one out. Yeah. So you should have had this.
What I'm going to do now, I'm going to stop you, And just so listeners can know the difference, and this is Spot the Error, 83936. We're now going to start the item again. Yeah. Tell me the bits that were missing. Okay, here we go. It's your move, isn't it? Look, play Bullshito Bed.
At the top. Yes.
At the very top, yes.
Very top.
It's at the very top, isn't it? Yep. Think about it. We don't have much of a script. There's just a list for you. Mm. We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. They are masters of the ancient art of bullshito. Right, you see, there's two things there, wasn't there? Plus that pipe. Isn't there? It's three things.
Yeah.
And what did you think? Oh, I'll just kick back. They don't need me. Address all abuse to little sigh. That's little sigh. I would say care of, but it's actually not care of us.
No, it isn't. No.
Care of the 4-7 thing, but it's not.
No.
It's unclear.
It's in spite of.
Yeah, in spite of. Yeah. What's the symbol for that? I know you put CO.
Yeah,
what do you put?
I'm not sure.
Care of.
Yeah.
We've had things like the driving instructor who claims he was the Mr. Blue Sky from the ELO classic.
That's a great one.
A bloke who reckons he gets visited every year by the eagle he nursed back to health. Actually, that's not funny, because I could tell you a story about that.
Jeff, is that you up there?
It was, it's Bernard, actually.
Was it Bernard?
Yeah, I got friendly with an eagle owl
right. Called
Bernard while I was staying at a stately home up in Leicestershire. Mm. And he would only fly for me.
Sure.
Everyone else, he just walked along the ground.
Just a walking owl.
And the guy who had his handler, who claimed he'd had a 3.5-hour actual hand-to-hand combat with Bernard's brother, Leonard.
No way.
Yeah, in a field. He said we came blow to blow. We're just trading blows. He says, me and this eagle owl, we traded blows 3.5 hours. Then he hopped back in the van. He goes, we're trading blows 3.5 hours. And he hopped back in the van. He knew I was boss by that time. He says, but you're the only person I've ever seen Bernard fly for. Normally he just walks. It's the most stunningly disappointing
display.
How do you
discipline an owl? What have they got, like a riding crop?
An eagle owl.
An eagle owl,
yeah. But it's the most unbelievable thing. He does these displays, and all of the falcons are doing great things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He brings Bernard out, because he's like the big one.
Right,
And he just does that, and Bernard just hops off the post, just walks along the ground,
no.
grabs the food, naps off back to the perch, and just flutters up to it again. And he says, what can I do? It's meant to be the climax.
It's awesome.
Everyone looks at Bernard. I can't start with him before the kestrels. Look at the size of the bar. We've got the man who says his bones are so dense he can walk on the bottom of a swimming pool. Send your bullshito stories 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the dojo of deceit this week. Sons Templeton, sweep the leg.
This has come in from Marie and Joe. They say, once at a Manchester Tribute Act indoor festival, me and my mate pretended...
Wait a second.
Hold on a minute.
Hang on a second. Where were you at?
Once at a Manchester Tribute Act indoor festival.
My God.
That sounds fantastic.
A lot of information there, isn't it?
There's a hell of a lot.
A lot to unpack there.
Well, I put it this way, I feel like I've seen it.
Mm. Me and my mate pretended that we were from a Bananarama Tribute Act called Bandanarama.
Nice.
Yeah. It's not good though, is it?
Yeah.
We said we were there to support our fellow mates on the tribute circuit. One guy swore he'd seen us at Camp Bestival, and another guy took his picture with us. We got right into character.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
What I like about that is the Bushido guy is the guy saying, yeah, I've seen him before. Oh, I've seen him before. I said, bloody good, them lasses. They're really good. That is Bushido. Gab, what do you got?
Darren in Plymouth says, an old boss.
No, sorry, I just love the fact someone says I've seen them.
I know.
It's fantastic. Go on.
Darren in Plymouth says, an old boss of mine once claimed to have come face to face with a snow leopard whilst out for a walk in Dorset.
Oh, man.
A snow leopard. Anyway, so the cat apparently attacked him, but he was able to fight it off with his bare hands and with only a small scar on his head as evidence of the encounter. Oh. But he refused to cut his hair short enough to show anyone the scar.
Nice. I like that. That is bullshit.
I fought a snow leopard.
And I once went and did a documentary about the Peak Panther in the Peak District. And went to see this woman who claimed to the Independent that it had come in and taken a whole chicken off her sideboard.
Right.
And she goes, I was standing there and it came in. And it just came in and suddenly it were like on sideboard, dragged the chicken and it went off.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how did it get in? She goes, bloody, and honestly, it was like literally 8 foot long, this thing, tail to stop. I said, how did it get in? She goes, throat cat flap.
It was a cat.
They'll always say, it was the size of, well, a black Alsatian. You're thinking, it was a black Alsatian.
Yeah.
This is from Stephen Newcastle. When I was a kid, a mate told me his older brother was that good at putting stickers into footy sticker albums, he got offered a job to put the stickers onto Formula One car.
Sticker man.
Like, he's that good at like putting stickers on. Stickers.
He's got panini offered,
like Formula One. He's like panini league. Bullshito. Send your Bullshito stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X.
Radio X.
So, big day tomorrow, Gav.
What?
It's Milton's. Milton will be one tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Is it a year?
I know. Anyway, Vanessa is planning his party.
Yeah.
Let's say he at the moment, he can't walk. He can, on the footstool, he can lean on that while watching telly.
Right. That's
and
how upright
he's
got, yeah.
And he can say, mama.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Yeah.
And he smiles a hell of a lot. He really does. He's got a winning smile.
Sure.
And he laughs a lot, particularly at my stupid faces.
Right.
But
The way Vanessa goes on, you think he was honestly like, it's his 16th for his party.
It's like a prom party.
No, he won't like that. He won't like that.
No, he won't.
So they'll all sit down there. I've got, and she's just, she's showing me like the, I'm not going to spoil it because I know a little size coming. There's that one.
Yeah, go
he's
on.
Got, he's got, it's babies only, right?
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
Max age, there's going to be a 2-year-old there.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, you know, the senior. Yeah?
He'll be the tall one.
Yeah, but the way she's planning it, it's, he's got party bags. He's like, it's just, basically, it's just adults behind pretending to be their hands.
Right.
Well, she's planning it. It's like, you know, she's talking about what drinks are they going to have?
I yeah.
Like, well, I take a wild guess. Aptamol.
Yeah.
Maybe water.
Yeah.
Bit of watered down apple juice. I don't know if that's on it.
You don't need a bar.
No.
No. There's no cocktails.
She's going to, but she says, no, the place we're having it, they're sending over menus. I'm like, what menus?
Menus?
What?
What, does it just say fish fingers on it?
I don't know. No, they can't even have fish fingers. What?
What?
Well, one of those Ellie bag things.
Oh.
Instead, you know that baby food, Ellie's Kitchen or whatever it is?
Right, yeah.
Ella's Kitchen. Is it Ellie's Kitchen?
I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Have I got that right, little site? You don't know. Big size. Yes, I have. Big size nodding.
Yeah.
This one seems to know.
Right.
What, did you not use it?
I can't remember.
I made my own, John.
It's been a long time, John.
I made my own.
I stuck with Cowan Gate.
We used to have them little jam jars.
Yes.
And I'd make my own a lot of the time with tripe.
Dripping.
Yeah, we used to have little dripping treats. Little bits of granny's dripping. Do you want another bit of dripping?
We'd put dripping sandwich.
We get sheep gut,
yeah,
and we'd fill that with dripping.
Yeah, just the baby portion. You
baby,
know,
but we'd put it in the hole, and they just suck on that.
Just a spoon
on
of it,
the
yeah.
intestine, and you know, and it's you know, and as long as it's all cooked through,
you just put a bit of vinegar on it, and they like it. You know?
They like it. And we a bit of brandy. As long as you had a bit of brandy,
bit of gin,
oh, they sleep after that.
Oh, yeah,
they sleep after
yeah.
that.
Sound
when
as
I was a kid, we used to before we went to bed, we used to have half of it was light and bitter.
Right.
When I was a baby, Dad used to give us light and bitter and
a clip round the ear hole.
And then he used to just clip round the ear hole and some mushy peas with vinegar on in a bit of sheep gut. And we'd suck on that for hours.
It was a treat.
We had a dummy made of steel. Brass dummies we had.
Go on.
You know, when we were teasing, we used to chew on an old shoe. Like the leather. Anyway, so Vanessa's planning this thing.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I can't break it to her.
Right.
This literally, which we're sitting there, probably cross-legged, in a bit of a circle.
Yeah.
She's got like an entertainer, some sort of pirate.
Oh,
I'm like,
my
he doesn't
God.
Even know. His idea of a pirate is it's just because he watches baby TV where there's this thing. Here we go, the pirate show, or whatever it is, yeah. Finding treasure, here we go. Yeah, well, I don't know what it is. Anyway, but the key pirate is like a ginger girl.
Right.
A toddler.
Uh-huh.
That's his perception of pirates.
Yeah, yeah, so he's going to be let down.
He thinks they're an all-female crew in this pirate show he likes. There's three of them, like toddlers, with big hats. And that's what he thinks of pirates. He thinks they solve puzzles to get treasure, to unlock caves
of course,
and stuff.
Yeah,
quite
yeah.
easy puzzles.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And that's, so, I mean, so she's got a pirate. He's not going to know.
What's his pirate going to do?
He's probably freaked out.
Or does he dance?
Yeah.
Or something?
I don't know. I said, I just wanted
to. Did you tell a joke to a 1-year-old who can't speak properly?
I know that they will do. She's hired it. She sort of said, I've looked at what this guy does. There's nothing compatible with it at all. He does magic tricks. That's lost.
Yeah, they're looking, well, looking the other
just,
way.
Just
yeah.
opening a door is quite magical for him. The fridge is magic. It's nothing that isn't magic. Just walking.
Anyway, changing their nappy. That's magic.
Changing your nappy. Everything's magic. God. Literally, you just go, peepo, and he's like, hi. That DM is like, that's all the entertainer needs to do. So you've got an entertainer.
Yeah.
These party bags with lots of stuff in there. I don't know. You know, there's really complex, like executive toys in there, Gav.
Wow.
Yeah, things like
is there a round of golf at the end of the day?
Yeah, no, she's booked in golf.
18 holes.
No, we used to do that, though.
Yeah.
It was toddlers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Toddler golf.
We play a bit of touch league.
Touch league.
Yes, we've organised a game of rugby league.
Gatilan's Dragonettes.
Yes.
X Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah.
Three quickies for you. All legal stuff.
Let's
have. First up, computer and phone manufacturers in Germany.
Mm.
could be made to install age filters to stop under 18s accessing unsuitable stuff.
Okay.
Can you imagine that? What'll be next? Like water companies ensuring that you're not just opening up effluent into your house when you open a tap.
What an idea. What a revolution.
Actually, can you imagine that? Water companies. It's the same principle.
It is, yeah.
If you want, you know, you should have to opt in, not opt out.
It shouldn't be automatic.
It should be a given that you keep things safe. What's amazing is just how tech stuff, not just tech stuff, but, you know, phone companies, internet, it's just sort of, the law is so slow to catch up.
Yeah, come
on. And doesn't seem to be able to touch them. There's nothing we can do there, you know.
It's just the wild way.
If they want to, you know, if you want to just, it's two clicks and you literally, you've got drugs on your door. There's nothing they can do. It's legal in that country you're ordering it from. It's legal in Venezuela.
Yeah, why is that the default?
I don't know.
It's mad, isn't it?
There's nothing we can do, really, because that's legal in Holland.
Yeah.
And that's where they've through-routed it via a tax haven in Belarus. Anyway, it just seems to be that sort of concept.
That's weird.
As around with children. I just think the idea that isn't the case.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it's called Top Shelf.
Yeah.
Should be the same principle. Okay, Gav, here's one for you.
Go on, number two.
Number two, baby-faced con man posed as King's Envoy. A law student who led a double life for years, blah, blah, blah. Mm. He's a con man. He's in Spain. But he's baby-faced. Can I just say, I can't remember the last story I read about a young con man where he wasn't baby-faced. Just can be easier. Arrest anyone with a baby-face.
Yeah.
Already.
It's always a baby-face.
No, it's like the other way. It's like I was just talking about that thing with age filters.
Right.
Just start off by assuming everyone with a baby-face is a con man.
I mean, it's a nickname for gangsters, literally.
Yeah, but they all are, Gav. Look at him. Look at him. He has got a baby-face. Looks angelic. Arrest him. He's obviously a con man. I honestly, I can't remember when I last read a story about a con man where he wasn't baby-faced. Yeah. And that's because that's precisely what they're using to give you the confidence. They
definitely,
just think,
yeah.
That's why they seem so innocent. That's why they've stayed in the gene pool.
Right.
Because that's their tool of survival. They look all innocent. So that's the next thing we want. As well as age filters on web devices, arrest all baby-faced people. They're all con men.
Do them,
And then wait to find out if they are or not. But presume they are. Last up, Kev.
Go on.
Venezuelan security forces hunting a crime boss who controls an impoverished neighborhood in Caracas. Say they've arrested one of his associates.
Yeah.
Guess what her name is? The Hare.
You're kidding.
In English.
The Hare.
In English. It's The Hare. No, it hasn't even got a Spanish thing.
Oh, you're kidding. That's literally
her name.
The
Hare. His name is El Coqui. Imagine getting that name in South America. How much gear has he got to be associated with?
El Coqui.
No, if you're in Venezuela and you're called El Coqui,
you've got an issue.
Christ alive. I mean, no, but that's not even Chapo or Escobar got that one. How much does he do? How involved is he with the stuff? Yeah, I know El Coqui. That's quite a badge of honour there. Anyway, they got a photograph of Carla Diaz, who is called El Hare.
Yeah.
She's a picture of her with a machine gun. She's got blue, massive hair.
Is it bouffant?
No, she's been on the run since 2012.
Large blue hair?
Yeah, large blue hair. She's been on the run since 2012. You wonder how hard they've been looking. She's called The Hare. She has massive blue hair and carries a big machine gun.
Oh, my God.
Right. And evidently, she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah.
And she honey traps men, and then they get kidnapped.
Oh, my God.
And she's part of El Coqui's
terrifying
gang. Christ knows what happens after that. The mind boggles, Gav.
Radio X.
Oh, man, the weird things that can happen here. I just opened the door to go, I was just going to quickly nip off and get a glass of milk.
Yeah.
And from the canteen. That's not a humus. I was generally going to get another glass of milk because I'm drinking a lot of milk at the moment.
Mm.
I had 63 pints last week.
He was drinking 8 pints a day.
No, I do. I do 4 chickens a day and about 63 pints of milk. I worked out I drank 63 pints of milk last week.
Nice.
Because that's what I stir in my protein shake.
It's all dairy this week, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, so I opened the door. And it's extraordinary. Listen, I'm just bringing you in on this because I feel like we know each other and you're part of the gang. So listen to this. This is what happened. I opened the door. Mm-hmm. And during that record, just to go out and get a glass of milk. And behind the door in the corridor, as it opens in, but in that little thing.
Skulking.
This little Simon just eating a plum.
Yeah, as if he was doing something wrong. What the hell?
Why did you go outside to eat the plum? What? What do you think we'd mock you?
I don't like eating plums in public.
What the hell is your problem? No, but that's just really weird. Do you see what I mean, though? Really? 83936, if you've caught someone going outside to eat something weird, or you go outside, you just something you won't eat in front of people.
Right.
83936, I'm really interested to know if he is a crazed loner. Paul from Plymouth. Thank you very much for this, Paul. I don't like eating pizza in front of people. And if I do, I'll have to use a knife and fork. Wow, man. I tell you what I've started to do.
Go on.
I've definitely started a lot more. Am I going to confess this?
Go on.
Yeah, I've started to use I've started to cut my burgers in half.
No.
Yeah, you get a much better biting surface, like with toast.
I don't tall burgers. They've got to be flat.
Yeah.
You want to be able to bite.
Gav, it's not quite what I'm talking about.
Okay,
let's just keep it on the island.
Sure.
And that's why I used to shout at my father whenever he played tennis and he hit one out. Keep it on the island! Anyway, whenever we played tennis together. Mm. Anyway, so I've started to... I don't eat with the knife and fork. I don't go that far, but I definitely started cutting my burgers enough. Go on, Gav, next.
Lee in Tilsley says, I never eat panda in front of people.
Good work, Lee.
Yeah.
How about this one? Tough John. That's my name, baby. Don't wear it out. I would, on a Monday, normally go to work with the leftover meat from Sunday's roast. Mm. I would then get in my car and drive to a nearby lay-by, away from my colleagues at lunchtime, and eat like a caveman. That's JP in Saffron. Thank you for your candor,
beautiful.
JP. Next up, Gav.
Jay in Brighton says, I always eat my boiled eggs outside instead of in the office, post-lunchtime gym sesh. It's polite to get rid of the smell, but no one gets away from the freshly sculpted cannons.
Damn right, I'm somebody, Jay. Good work. We got a guy at work who inhales sausage roll from the Meals on Wheel, hoping no one else sees him. That's from Steve in Manchester. Is it you, Steve?
Yeah.
Next up, Gav.
Duncan says, I sometimes crave a tinned sardine in tomato sauce sandwich for lunch, but I would never eat it in an office.
Do you know something? I will only eat secretly because of food shame, because it just looks so... But I do. I love a tinned sardine with a little bit of salad cream. I think it's because it's a terrible salad my mum used to give us in like the 70s.
And you've grown accustomed to it.
Oh, God, it's good. Also, cucumbers, they are better with a little bit of salad cream on. They really are.
Yeah, sure.
Radio X.
Now, Gav, you know one of the things that keeps me... Well, the thing that mainly keeps me awake at night, what is it?
Heat.
National security.
Of course.
Worrying about
that's what
security.
I meant by the word heat.
Okay, of course you did. Sorry, I forgot. National security.
That's what we call it in the industry.
Heat. sec heat.
Infosec. Humid sigint heat.
It's sec heat.
It is.
That's exactly what I get. Yeah. Anyway, I just go through scenarios, and it's shocking, man. But anyway, I've got three little things from the world of security for you now.
Okay, go on.
First thing up, ministers were hit with an angry backlash over plans to treat journalists like foreign spies.
Right.
I mean, it's a bit much, isn't it?
It depends.
Fourth estate.
It depends if they're spies or not.
But they're just reporters.
Yeah,
just reporters. They have dragged Britain down pretty consistently, but... But come on.
Yeah.
I just hope we've got more for foreign spies
than we have
for journalists.
I hope
we can turn it up a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, if journalists are feeling, as you said, the full heat of the security service, anyway.
Go on.
So that's story one. I just think let's, leave a bit in the locker.
Yeah, in the quiver.
And this is an example of exactly that principle, and you sort of hope we've got more than that.
Right.
Like, I hope we've got more for foreign spies than whatever they're using on journalists.
Yeah, defo.
Okay, get this.
Go on.
The former head of... This is one of the funniest things I've read for ages.
Mm.
The former head of GCHQ's cyber agency accused the government of misleading Parliament over the response to Chinese hacking, right?
Right.
Now, at the moment, it's quite a difficult world with what I've called... This is trademark Johnny Vaughan. Johnny Vaughan was the first guy. I hope spending time to use it, they'll always credit me with it. With what I call cyber rattling.
Right.
Right? Because you can't exactly have war. So if you do find out how to sort of shut down the entire sewage system of China, you can't do it.
Right.
And by the time you actually, we get to a situation, which I hope we never get to, where you want to flood China with effluent.
Right, yeah,
then,
yeah.
Or Russia. then hopefully, then we might have the capability to do it. That's the problem.
Right.
So you've got that hack into it. You say, I found out how to do it. So I just want to do it. Not now. They're not enemies.
No, we're not at war.
So all you can do is sort of cyber rattle. So you show them you could have
capability. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, but get this. Kieran Martin, the former head of the National Cyber Security Centre, was responding to ministers' answers over how Britain planned to respond to the hack of Microsoft Exchange accounts across the world. Yeah. He compared the government's response, so he's saying the government said, oh, yeah, we handle that, of course, you know, the Chinese are scared of us. Yeah. Get this.
Right?
He says, he compares the government's responses to hearing a playground bullying victim threaten his aggressor with a fictional big brother who's got a black belt in karate. That's what he compares.
Wow,
literally,
man.
Bullshido.
That is he's real
sarcasm. He's
literally
saying that the government is just a, well, we've got a bullshido, yeah. Well, my mate, right,
my brother will get you.
He hacked your brain. Anyway, he said, only when the government stops pretending it's got magical, invisible, secret cyber capabilities that will covertly bring Beijing or Moscow to their senses, can we have a serious and open debate about how we handle it? Okay, that's my second story. My last one's really simple. You ready?
Go on.
This is the good news, right? So they're treating journalists like spies. We hope not. We hope they've got a bit more fun spies.
Yeah.
We hope they're going to literally form an SBS, what I call a special bite service.
Right.
To actually deal.
B-Y-T-E.
Yes.
Go on.
The special bite service. Yeah. Here's the last one. No need to spend billions on upgrading our naval firepower, writes the Daily Star. You ready?
Go on.
We've got the fastest underwater missile since Trident. Adam Peaty. Yeah? The second faster than anyone else in history, over 100 metres in breaststroke.
A one-man sub-killer.
Yeah. Petey's been beaten only once in 7 years. So there you go.
Oh, everything's fine, yeah.
Yeah,
just teach Adam Peaty how to code.
Relax.
And we're rocking.
Just get him fit him in a submarine.
Yeah.
You know, if he can sort of chew on a nuclear mint for a bit until he collides with the target, we should be fine there, Gav.
Lovely.
Like those dolphins.
Yes.
That the Russians had.
Yeah. Trained.
Yeah, like those Russian tank dogs.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4 till 7 thang downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. And if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you very much.